The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Key Marine Center.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's a good day for a boat ride. On the boat again. I just can't wait to get on the boat again.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. It's another edition of Boat Smart with Stefan Schmidt. Welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, and good morning, Pensacola. It's always great to be here, especially when the sun's shining out there.
It's a beautiful day out there.
Yeah, and I think the weekend's going to be pretty good for boating. I wonder if my listeners boat when it gets cooler out. I do. I enjoy it when it's cooler and just go out there and enjoy it where it's not, the sun's not, you know, beating down on you. You get out there when it's a little cooler. It's a lot more fun at that time. You can't go swimming maybe or something like that, but, you know, I'm sure people go out there when it's cooler. I'll enjoy it. The water seems to be more crisp, you know, as far as the way it looks, and the air is cleaner, and you just get out there and just enjoy the day when it's a little bit cooler. So I enjoy doing that. So good. It's a good week at Georgetown Tech. We had a great week this week, and we're so busy, and I barely have time to sit down. And I'm always moving around, always checking on my students and stuff. And we're finishing up our electrical series at school. The students are getting out of that. And then we're getting into some two-stroke maintenance and theory and stuff like that. But it's been a great week over there. You are listening to Boat Smart. It is a call-in show. You can call us at 850-437-1620 is the phone number. Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida, our sponsor. Key Marine located at 5621 Bower Road here in Pensacola. 850-492-0487 is their phone number. Remember, Key Marine Center is your Yamaha, Mercury, and Suzuki Repower Center. They have special discounting prices on all those products. Make sure you mention Boat Smart so they know you heard me on the air. And we are letting everybody know about Key Marine and about Georgetown Technical College, the Marine Service class over at Georgetown in particular. But I always talk about the other classes as well. And, you know, it's just a great place to go to school. We hear all these great stories about Georgetown and the classes that are out there. Georgetown is located at 2400 Longleaf Drive here in Pensacola, georgetowncollege.edu. They have a great chat feature on there. You can go on that chat feature and ask questions, and they will direct those questions. If you don't know who's going to give you the answer, they'll direct it to the appropriate people. You can get a hold of our counselors. You can get a hold of myself, any instructor out there. This week, I was walking a potential student around my shop, and as I was doing that, I seen that our HVAC instructor was walking a potential student around his shop. So we were more than happy to do that. Come over, visit, walk around, look at our programs, and if you're undecided, you can find somebody to walk you around the whole entire campus and show you all the programs that we have going on over there. So we're more than happy to do that. And I think that's a good opportunity, you know, poke your head in the door, look and see what they're doing, and maybe something out there will trigger your brain and say, wow, I think I'd like to be an EMT, or I'd like to be a Marine Service Technician, or I'd like to be a chef, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So walk around and see what we do, and just get on that path. I noticed that on our Facebook page, Georgetown also has a Facebook page, that we have a GED program. And they had a picture of the GED students celebrating their accomplishments, too. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome, you know, yeah, to see somebody that, and young and old, right? Young and old, moving along, and maybe they didn't graduate, you know, high school for whatever particular reason, and they come back and get their GED, and they continue to move forward. So that's a great thing.
My father-in-law worked at a factory, and unfortunately, like so many factories across the country, it ended up going away.
Right.
So in his mid-60s, he went back, got his GED, and then went to get a two-year degree at a technical college on top of it.
That's awesome.
I mean, he's a true inspiration to me.
Well, that is awesome. And that's, you know, that's how it works. And I have several students that come through my classes, been through the GED programs. And when I see a person that's in GED, I like to encourage them, you know, hey, how's it going? What are you planning on doing after? Come down and see me in the Marine Service class, right? All that stuff. So, yeah, like I said, it was a good week this week. We've been busy with electrical. We're trying to phasing out of that, moving on to the other areas that we're talking about. But I do have to give a shout-out to Riley. Riley came in, a very young student, been there a little over a year now, and he's starting co-op at Make Wake Marine in Fairhope, Alabama. Mm. And that's an interesting story because Riley didn't really know what he was going to do when he came into my class. You know, he's a younger gentleman coming into my class, and we were talking. He's kind of in there as a hobbyist kind of situation, or what am I want to do kind of situation. And somewhere along the way, he comes to me and he says, you know, this is what I want to do. And we're like, okay, well, we're going to work down that path, and we're going to make it happen, right? Mm-hmm. So we started working down that path, and then had another student at school that was working for a boat rental facility, and he's been getting other students to work at the boat rental facility, you know, dockhand and that kind of stuff, which is awesome.
Sure.
And so I've got several students working these little facilities, and now that's branching off to like Make Wake, because Make Wake does the servicing on that facility's boats.
Mm-hmm.
And they've seen Riley's, work ethic, seen that he has experience from the shop, you know, working at school, and they offered him a job with their company. So it's awesome. So he's going to leave the boat rental and move into Make Wake over in Fairhope into their shop, and then he's going to do mobile service as well. So congratulations to Riley. And last night was his last day in class, and he'll be starting his job on Monday. So pretty cool. So yeah. Last night we were getting our laptops out and working around, and we use a lot of computers because students have to look up parts and do their Canvas work on the laptops or desktops and stuff. And a lot of times I encourage students to bring their own laptops in, which is because they ask me, can I bring my own laptop? They're more comfortable with that. Sure, you can do that. Well, our IT department, not the one at school, the one downtown who controls the whole school district, has really kind of messed us up a little bit because they changed all the wireless type getting onto the internet. And last night we were having a heck of a time trying to get people on the internet because we didn't get really get much information on it. The only thing I knew was it stopped, and then we had to go to a different area. And I'm calling Mr. Wiggins at home, asking him questions, how we get my students on, because they have to be on the laptops,
Yeah.
So, in my thinking, when you look at George Stone as a whole and you compare it to the school district, the K-12 side of it, okay, we're a different entity as far as, the way the school district runs, because we are a college, of course, and we're part of the school district, but we have adults there, right? We do have some younger students and things like that, but we have adults, mainly adults at that location. So a lot of times students use their cell phones and their laptops and stuff like that to get on the network to do their work. So what I would love to do, and I don't know if we can, they're going to try to, if they would, they would do that, is have our own internet network at the school separate from the school district that we can control with our IT person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be able to make these changes as we need. I understand security and all that stuff, but, I pretty much keep my class secure because I know what they're doing on their, their phones and all that stuff. I keep track of all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of looking at, I think it's time that we try to get a network inside our school, however that works. I'm not, that savvy on all that.
Yeah, me either.
But when you tie us down to a point where you can't even get out an email to put in a resume or something like that, that becomes a problem. And a lot of times we're having issues with that. So last night was a little challenging. Takes me off my course of what I'm trying to do. And I'm trying to get students, back on the internet where they can do their work. And so we had a little bit of an issue with that last night. So I'm hoping that, maybe they'll take my advice and help us out on that, or at least give us a different avenue to get onto, the internet from our school. So that was just something that I found, interesting last night. Because even our motors, per se, if I'm having to update an engine, I have to be on the internet to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? So it can become a problem. They block a lot of stuff, and we're trying to get around all that.
Yeah, everything's online now, so if it goes down,
yeah,
it's frustrating.
Yeah, it gets a little frustrating, but, hopefully we'll work past that. They're always good about helping us out and things like that. We'll see what happens with that. We did get our Suzuki 115 running that Suzuki sent us. We got it on a stand. We got the console rigged, but we only got it running on a laptop right now. It's very interesting because I'm learning the Suzuki product. I've never really worked on Suzukis through my entire career. I may have done an oil change or a water pump or something like that, but very few of them. So I'm learning along with the students as we put this project together. We're rigging the control, the gauges, the key switch and everything. We got it on a stand, and we're having some issues back and forth with the wiring. So I actually had them pull it. And we were using rigging guides, and it's a little confusing, the product line is a little different. So, we were trying to figure out why the motor wouldn't start by key switch and stuff like that, or even make any sound. So we were having some issues with that. And, so I told him, I said, pull everything out. Let's get it on a bench. So we lined everything out on a bench, and they were able to see what was going on, rather than being up in a console where you couldn't see a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, they have to crawl through a 2x3 foot hole or less than that to get inside this console. Real life kind of scenario. So we were working out of that. So I had them pour everything out. And then Cameron, who has actually worked at a boat manufacturer, he rigged some Suzuki products, so he came over and helped. So I had students helping students and me learn the Suzuki products. So last night, as we got everything back in, we had the laptop out and had to download their software, which was a little issue. We got it done, got everything hooked up, and then when we left last night, we were able to run it on the laptop. We weren't able to run it on a key switch and control, so we're going to have to set it up. So there's a lot of setup with all that we have to do. Mm-hmm. So the students are learning that along with me, and that's okay, right? So I'm always willing to learn something new, and we are learning a lot of new things over there. This is a call-in show. You can call or text 850-437-1620 is the number. We got a text over there?
We do. It says, what is the best product to remove black spots on seats?
To remove rust spots on seats?
Black spots. Or black spots. You can say it as spots on seats.
You know, upholstery. Wow. It can really mess you up as far as getting things on upholstery. I don't recommend any kind of a harsh, like Clorox bleach or anything like that. There's a lot of products on the market that say they will remove that. A lot of times I think it's ammonia and water will help. And the reason I like the ammonia and water will help you is because it doesn't mess up the threads on the upholstery. So if you use bleach or something really harsh, that will do it, you know. So it depends on what type of a stain or what you have on there to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of rely on detailers most of the time to help me out on that stuff. Now, when you're dealing with upholstery, there's a lot of things that will affect it. And sometimes the foam inside can grow a pink, like algae or whatever, like a fungus. It can bleed through the upholstery. Suntan oil, those kind of things, bug sprays, all that stuff affects upholstery. So you have to be very careful when you're using those kind of things on a boat, because that gets into your upholstery too. I wish I could remember the product I use, but I use a two-part product on my upholstery. It's a cleaner, and then you come back and use a protectant on it.
Mm.
But ammonia and water, you can't go wrong with. Bleach, stay away from, that kind of thing. So appreciate
absolutely.
That.
If you have any other questions, 437-1620 is the number.
Yeah, and I love answering those questions. If I can't answer it, I'll try to find the answer for you. You know, I was talking to the potential student. He was asking me about fiberglass repairs and stuff like that, and I was kind of like, we don't do fiberglass repairs. We a little bit of it is in our curriculum, but I don't actually do that because we're not set up for it, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
In my long career in the industry, I think I've said this before, I've done a little bit of fiberglass and intentionally messed it up so I didn't have to ever do it again. Right, because that's how much I hate fiberglass repair and that kind of stuff. So that's a separate entity in the marine industry, such as upholstery would be. Right, so you're looking at upholstery, fiberglass repair, diesel mechanic, gas mechanic, you know, all these different entities of the marine industry. You don't see a lot of technicians that fall in that of, okay, I can do fiberglass repair and I can fix upholstery kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just two different areas of expertise. I was talking to somebody about the fact that when you do come in there, if you're you could be a master technician, you may end up working on a bilge pump or a trailer also. So you do have to know a lot of things, but kind of separate the upholstery versus the fiberglass repairs and stuff like that as well.
I was going to ask, so the students are learning on engines and how to replace those or repair those. Are they also learning stuff like this in terms of how to, you know, take spots off of fiberglass or seats or things like that? Do they work on that at all?
They don't, not at all, because, you know, I teach them not to tear it up,
mm-hmm.
like having take a screwdriver in your back pocket or something like, or laying tools on upholstery, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's what you're asking me. So, you know, so no, we just stay away from it altogether, and they just understand it. They don't do any work on it. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, and the diesel's the same thing. We get diesel's 150 hours of our course, and a lot of times, and it's out of a book, and we have a nice cutaway over there that students can learn on. So the students that want to do diesel, and I have several out in the field that have done this, they go to a dealership that works on diesels, and with the experience that I give them in the shop and the knowledge I give them in the shop, they're able to transition to a diesel shop, start doing maintenance and stuff, and then working their way up as a technician. So they actually send them to schools as well. So that works too.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of paths out there. So, yeah, and we got our Helmmaster EX system, our twin engine set up with our 200 Yamahas. We got them working yesterday. We got our laptops on them, and we got that squared away. And next week, hopefully, we're going to be putting it on a trailer and driving around a parking lot and setting up the and getting calibrated. Because you have to, when these new systems, you have to actually take the boat out and run around the water or the bay and make like circles and figure eights and left turns, right turns, and all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're unable to do this because this is a console built with two engines on the back of it. It won't float.
Right.
Right? So we're going to take that and put it on a trailer and drive it around our upper parking lot and calibrate it in the parking lot. And I know we can do it because we've did it on our 251. Mm-hmm. So we were able to do that. So I'll get that videoed and get that done too as well.
That's really cool.
So we're
very
excited.
Creative way to give them that experience too.
You know, how in the world can you do that if you can't get on the water, right? So the first one we did, I said, let's put it on a trailer. And my students and I had, you know, this was several years ago. They're like, I don't think it's going to work. It's not going to work. And it worked perfect. And I took that video of us doing that and sent that to Yamaha.
Mm-hmm.
And Yamaha loved the video. They sent it away up the corporate line to all the way to the president of Yamaha. And Yamaha said, you know, this school wants to really make sure our product works correctly. Whatever they want, give that school whatever they want. Because that they, you know, they went the extra mile to make stuff happen. And so that's what we do. You know, we try to make stuff realistic as well as we can on the property that we're at. So this week we talked about, or last week we talked about giving me suggestions and stuff. Well, I come up with a suggestion for myself. Maybe you have a suggestion on what you want me to cover as a topic. And I want to start on cooling systems this week. And we want to talk a little bit about cooling systems. And specifically, we'll stay with the outboard type stuff, and then we can move on to the inboards and stern drives as well, and talk a little bit about cooling systems, because a lot of people – customers, boat owners, don't understand the fact that you do need to maintain those systems, and the maintenance is different from where you may live or the way you use your boat or operate your boat, right? So if I'm a person that runs my boat a lot, and I'm out there every week and running my boat, and I'm not running in sand and silt and that kind of stuff where there's a lot of debris in the water, getting into my cooling system, my water pump and the cooling system's probably going to be better off than a person that doesn't run their engine as much or runs in that sand and things like that. So there's going to be many factors associated with the cooling system and the maintenance of that cooling system. You also look at the difference between salt water and fresh water as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in fresh water, it's so crazy that the difference of maintenance is so, it's just unbelievable how much difference there is in fresh water compared to salt water.
Really?
Yeah, you take a freshwater person, a technician, and you bring them down to the saltwater area, they're going to struggle. You take a saltwater technician and you move them to freshwater, they're happy. Hmm. They're like, "Woo, man, this is awesome." Because everything comes apart in freshwater.
I would think it'd be the reverse of that.
No, the saltwater basically welds everything together, right? Mm. So that's what happens in the saltwater environment. You know, you have different types of bolts. You have stainless steel, aluminum, brass, all these different kinds of bolts and hardware, and then salt water accelerates the corrosion factor. And then in fresh water, there's really not that much corrosion factor involved in it, okay? Mm. So, yeah, it is a big difference between salt water and fresh water. And I had my best friend up in North Alabama, he had a shop up there, and he always tried to sell me his cutting torch because that's, something that you use when you're dealing with saltwater stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going to do, I need you, you come up here and get me the cutting torch. I don't need it anymore. And he was like all happy. And then a few weeks later, I talked to him and he said, I need my cutting torch. And I'm like, why do you need your cutting torch for? He didn't give it to me, but we're just talking, And he says, I got one of your boats up here. And it's funny, it's a saltwater boat, ends up on a lake up there on the Tennessee River.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's dealing with corrosion again. And a lot of times they come from our area, and believe it or not, he's 6 hours from me up on the Tennessee River. I'm down here in Pensacola. And a lot of times it's some customers that know me and him, and we have a connection there because he'd call me, do you know this customer? Yeah, I know that guy from back then, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. So when you're talking about cooling systems, it really does matter where you live, how you operate your boat, how many hours or a year you operate your boat and that kind of stuff. So the very first thing we could talk about is the water pump impeller. And on outboards, it's located down in the gear case area. And it's a rubber impeller. And it consists of a housing and rubber impeller, some gaskets and seals. And what it does, it pulls water from the lower unit up into the power head area to supply it with water. So a lot of times we talk about, they call it cooling systems. I'd rather call it a temperature regulation system where we're regulating temperature, and we'll talk about that and the importance of that. We got another text?
We got two, actually.
All right, awesome.
So does spraying WD-40 on nuts and bolts help deter corrosion?
No. I'm going to say no. And I'm not a fan of WD-40. I would definitely go with a marine-grade type corrosion inhibitor. Every engine manufacturer makes their own, okay? So they all have their own, and they're all good product. I typically use Corrosion X on mine, which is a very good product as well. So any manufacturer's product or anything like Corrosion X will work on that. But WD-40 is just not – actually, somebody might tell me I'm wrong, but it's a water-based type lubricant, and it doesn't work. So find a one that works, and I would use either a manufacturer's brand or Corrosion X. Works really well. And don't hesitate to spray them down. So that's a good thing.
Okay.
Yep.
Second question, does your program show students how to work on jet skis and jet boats?
Oh, my. You know, we're waiting on a jet ski from Yamaha right now, and it's almost a joke in a shop because I cannot stand jet skis. I do not like jet skis. I've worked on jet skis in the past, and every jet ski I've ever worked on gave me a fit. I don't like them. I like to ride them.
Mm-hmm,
I don't like to work on them. And so, yes, we are working toward that because the students and people that are in my class have asked me about that. And even though I dislike them so badly, we are going to work on them as soon as I get that jet ski in, and we're going to do some little training on that. It's not really part of my curriculum, but we're going to add it to it for students that want to do that because there are rental companies out there and things like that that they can go to work on after they learn some jet ski, you know, power plant stuff. And, you know, you look at a jet ski and an outboard – the ignition system and things like that are basically the same. And it's just when you get into propulsion and how deeply that engine is set down into that jet ski where you're working on it, you know, so it's really hard to get to. A lot of people think jet skis are submarines and they like to put them under the water. Jet ski, you know, and just a lot of factors is the reason I don't like to work on them. So, you know.
Yeah, again. I always wanted to own a jet ski, but I met somebody like yourself who had a lot of knowledge, and they said, do you also like maintenance? Because you're going to be doing a lot of it.
Right, a lot of it. And if you're on a freshwater lake, you're probably pretty good. If you're in saltwater, it just takes it to another level, right?
Yeah.
So we got another one, or are we good?
Yeah, WD-40, does it actually attract salt and sand?
Okay. I don't know. You know, I know that for a fact that the product that we use works really well. And again, Corrosion X works really well. I know a lot of dealerships use that along with the products from Mercury, Yamaha, Suzuki. Mm. So, and again, it just depends on what you're trying to do. Preventive maintenance goes a long ways. Let's say you got a brand new boat and you haven't done your first maintenance where you're servicing a water pump at 100 hours or at the first of the year. I always recommend you get in there and take the bolts and everything out and get everything greased up and put back in the saltwater application. So as far as the power head is concerned and the electronics and things like that, I know for a fact that the products that I recommend are safe for all that. So that's why I recommend that. So, yeah, you know, I probably got WD-40 in my shop, but I use it for drilling out bolts and stuff like that. I use it on drill bits and stuff, but I don't use it on engines. There's another product that I use, fluid film. It's a pretty good product. And it's safe for the environment, so that works well also.
Okay.
So fluid film. You can get it at local stores. I think you get it on Amazon and stuff too. So, yeah. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah, we have about a minute left. Is there anything more on cooling systems?
Yeah, we're going to talk about cooling systems. I'm going to mention this is what we're going to talk about as we go. I want to refer to them as engine temperature regulation system rather than a cooling system. And we're going to talk about how important that is, okay, to regulate the temperature, not necessarily bring a temperature down, but we want it to go to a point where it stays at a certain temperature. And we'll talk about why it's important and how it affects not only the engine mechanically, but also in the electronics of the engine as well. So we'll get into that. And next week, I'll just jump right into it. How about that?
Absolutely.
And we'll get going with that. So, yep.
Awesome. Pep Talk is brought to you by Paris Tractor, one of the largest Kubota dealerships in the country. Visit them at 6701 Mobile Highway or online at paristractor.com. Thanks for joining us on Pep Talk.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate the text today.